Again, you'll see in your notes, it's just a summary of what we covered, and we've never presented this concisely before. So this will help, I think. It'll just compress it down. And I've also kind of summarized one or more points to make them a little more contracted and fluid. So again, I know review can be tedious, but if you review, you have a better chance to remember. And I bet you some of you, if you were upfront kind of people, you could probably walk us through many of these things. I hope that's the case now, right? Maybe not, you know, in every way, but you could say you could cover these five, where not to start and maybe why. You know, you don't start with people's advice. The Bible does tell you to seek counsel, but it doesn't tell you to start there. Circumstances don't dictate what God wants you to do. Consensus. We're living in a nation now that the consensus, no one even knows what the consensus is, right? Even to who should use what bathroom. What insanity. Thankfully, we don't have to go by popularity or vote or whatever, right? We know what God says, we do it. Our desires, just because we want something doesn't mean we should have it or do it. And then, of course, our feelings are related to that, too. You don't live by your feelings. You're not supposed to. Feelings are meant to enhance your existence, not lead your existence. Other things that I hope you dream about at night are this next slide, these three things. Where do you start? You start with the commands of God. If they're commanded, that's clarity. You have all that you need to know. Then you go to general principles. That's where we're at right now. We've given you 10, and the 10 actually overlap rather well. They're not just separate. They're all connected. I suppose you could connect them in a circle almost to say this is the will of God. This is how to determine what the will of God is for a lot of things that the Bible doesn't clearly give you a command about, but it gives you a general command about. And then, of course, on top of that, it's biblical wisdom. Again, there's things that the Bible teaches you, like looking ahead, and we talked about this in the principle of the path, understanding that there's consequences to your choices. There are consequences to my choices kind of idea. What you sow, you reap kind of idea. And the principle of the path helps you to, one of them was, I know that the wise man looks ahead and avoids trouble. So that's kind of an idea. Wisdom. How can I look ahead and not get into trouble that I shouldn't be getting into? You know, sometimes you can't avoid trouble. You get thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. God wants you in jail, I guess, right? But if it's just being goofy, you know, getting... I've used this illustration before, but I knew a missionary one time for an extended time, really, but he came home on furlough. And he had this emergency. You know what his emergency was? He needed new tires on his car. Now let me ask you about that. Should that ever be an emergency? He needed all new tires. His tires were bald. Is that an emergency? I mean, probably at that point it is. But should it ever be an emergency? Where you need to replace all four tires because they're bald. No, guess what? You know that you can see your tires every day. You can see that they're wearing every day. It tells you roughly how many miles you'll get out of a tire if it doesn't get punctured or something. I usually puncture my tires, so, you know, then I have to get it repaired or replaced. But to replace four tires because you simply failed to look ahead and plan on something that you know is going to happen is not wise, is all that is. Okay. So three steps there. Now let's look at the 10 basic principles. And I think I have exactly on my slide, well, I think I got it down to, it's exactly what you have on your sheet. Okay. So I've basically put the name of the principle a summary statement of the principle and one verse that relates to the principle. Some of them we gave you a whole bunch of verses, but I tried to pick the one that most concisely relayed maybe a very key principle. Okay, like purity, there's several different principles, but I picked one that I thought summarized it very well. Okay, so here we go. And these you probably could fill out based upon the summary statements, but just hang with me and follow along as we go through these, okay? The first one here, the principle of priority. Am I seeking to do what God wants? All right, each one of these I think I've stated as a question. But am I seeking to do what God wants? That's a great place to start. And the way God wants it done. Because you can do the right thing the wrong way. Okay. Am I seeking to do what God wants, the way God wants it done? Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do you want to know what God wants you to do? Or you want to know the will of God? Look and see what God wants you to do. Don't make your list. Make your list from what God says to do. Okay? So the principle of priority. Let's read that summary statement together out loud, okay? That italicized black there, okay? Am I seeking to do what God wants the way God wants it done? All right? The next principle, the principle of authority. Again, there's a lot to say about that. We spent either 3 or 6 months on that when we covered the basic disciplines for believers several years ago. I believe it was 6 months because there were so many different layers of authority. Okay? Here's the question that we say, am I yielding to my God-given authorities? That is God's will for you. Unless they're violating Bible commands, God's clear commands, we have no reason not to follow. Okay? Unless it's explicitly violating God's command or a principle that makes it obvious it's wrong, then we don't have a reason to reject it, even though we disagree with it, right? Submitting to authority, and you've heard me say this many, many times, assumes that you disagree with the direction they're going. Otherwise, there's no reason to submit. Submission is you're changing course to go their way. All right? So that's a biblical principle. We're to yield to our authorities. Romans 13, 1 and 2 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. That's pretty sobering. And again, there's, I don't know, 17 different submission relationships in the Bible. Okay, so every relationship involves submission. Every relationship involves some kind of submission. Let's read the summary statement together. Am I yielding to my God-given authorities? So when you're making a decision, you're wanting to go a direction, you can say this, am I yielding to my God-given authorities in this? If not, then I need to take a step back and reevaluate the direction I'm going, the choice I'm seeking to make. And again, it might go against the way I feel, what I desire, even my circumstances. Okay, it might hurt me rather than help me. Well, what does the authority say? Okay. Jesus, I keep thinking, Jesus yielded to Pilate. Well, how did that work out for him? He told Pilate he would have no authority unless it was given to him by God. And he yielded to his government authority, even though he was a wish-wash, unbelieving guy that would ultimately result in his death. Okay? Number three, the principle of community. The principle of community. Does this hinder or help my church family? You see this over and over in Scripture brought up in different ways. The church is supposed to build up one another. We are obligated to serve and minister to one another. The church, body is to be a central directing factor in our lives. Okay? Here's one that you're familiar with, Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. I think I had five different points on this, but this is just one. And let us what? Consider one another. That's a command, by the way, in this passage. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I am not only to factor in what I want to do or whatever. In fact, that's the opposite. I'm supposed to see what will happen for other people. How might I stir up love and good works? And notice, part of that happens when you don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's why we're so adamant about participation as believers. Because if you're not participating, number one, you're outright disobeying. Okay? And number two, you're being selfish, because coming together involves caring for other people. Okay? As is the manner of some, and notice this, and it's not passively just showing up. That's what I like about the Northridge gang. Gang, that's probably not the right biblical word to use. But the Northridge gang, they hang around and chat and talk and all of that. And by the way, I didn't even start that when I showed up. It was already happening. And one of the things that I said when I came here is, I hope I don't break that. Because that's a big deal. That's why we're not, you know, I like to start on time, but if you're talking to one another, that's part of church too, right? That is the church in action. But part of doing assembling is not passive, it's active. You're stirring up love and good works. You're exhorting one another. And the Bible says, as we get closer to, I believe, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to even do it more. We're to make it even a higher priority. Okay? So the principle of community, let's read this question out loud together. Number three here. Does this hinder or help my church family? Okay? That's a big factor. That's a huge factor. It's a biblical factor, and it's commanded. All right? Again, these are general commands that address things that maybe not God hasn't commanded about directly, but they will control our lives. They will steer us in a way differently than if we were just on our own, doing our own thing, living by our own desires. Okay? Number four, the principle of purity. We had four different ones. I think that was mind, body conduct, and others were the different areas that we're supposed to pursue purity in, the principle of purity. Here's the summary statement. Does this promote or produce holy thinking or holy living in me or others? That's a good question. About my entertainment, about my reading, about my conversations, about my internet browsing, about, I don't know, the people I hang around. If I have that choice, right? If I'm working with them, I don't have as much choice, maybe. But that's what it is. The Bible commands us regarding this. Notice in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through, is it 7? I think it is. I combined two sections because we covered them under 2 points during the week when we did this. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 7. For this is the will of God. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? If you want to know the will of God for your life, here it is. At least in part, your sanctification, your becoming pure, your becoming holy. That's what sanctification means. And you're already holy in standing if you're a believer, so it's obviously talking about your conduct, the way you think, the way you talk, the way you conduct yourself. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That's what you do. Okay? And by the way, abstain, we don't like to hear that word, but it's saying no, not doing stuff sometimes is the Christian thing to do. Okay? The Christian thing, in fact, what, the Ten Commandments, a lot of them are don't do this, right? Abstain from sexual immorality. That is, each of you, every one of us, should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification, if you will, in becoming holy, and honor. So honor is a big thing too. Not in passion of lust. We don't live by how we feel. Okay, what feels good. Not in passion of lust. Like the Gentiles who do not know God. We're different because we know God, and so we should live different. In fact, we're commanded to do so. That no one, and this, it describes part of what sexual immorality is. It's taking advantage of other people. That's what it is ultimately. It's being selfish. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. I'm talking about his spiritual brother or sister. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such. God does not let that go by. And he's talking to believers here. Right? He's saying not like the Gentiles do. He's talking to us. As we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. God has defined your job description as a Christian to be holy as he is holy. And he did not stutter. He is not unclear about this. All right? Let's read this summary statement out loud together. Number four here, does, right? Does this promote or produce holy thinking or holy living in me or others? Right? Number five, the principle of intensity. Intensity. We use intensity because hard work doesn't end with a Y. Okay, hard worky might work. Okay? I have two sentences. Summary sentences, because I think both of them hit them from a different angle. Am I doing what I can, the way I can, you know, to the best I can, with what God has given me? Am I doing what I can, the way I can, with what God has given me? Another way to say it is, am I using my God-given ability at my God-given capacity? If I had to choose one, that's probably the one I'd use, but capacity is not one that's a little harder word. Right? Am I using my God-given ability at my God-given capacity? Am I doing what I can? What I'm able to do? Or am I slacking? And I think that's a Bible concept. Okay? Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, as you look around. You look around carefully as you're walking. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Have you noticed because the days are evil? Have you noticed that the world is just collapsing around us in immorality and the wrong viewpoint? And to say that we can just frivolously live our lives in the realm of entertainment or things that don't matter on an eternal basis. That's a travesty from a Christian standpoint. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He's expressly said, do not waste your time. And remember, this is one of five principles so far. They all overlap. Don't waste your time on things that are immoral. Right? Don't waste your time on things that promote impurity. Don't waste your time on things that take away from what you should be doing for the church of God. Don't take away the time when you should be going in a different direction to promote the kingdom of God. Don't waste your time when your authorities tell you otherwise. Okay? Colossians 3:23 says this. It's a good, very concise sentence or verse. And whatever you do, do it heartily. That ends in a Y. But the principle of heartily doesn't sound right here. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. You are serving God ultimately. Not yourself. Not your parents, not your boss. Okay? You're serving God, so you're to work with intensity. If you remember, that's Luke 17, where if a person works all day in the field and comes home, he doesn't sit down and the master say, what can I fix you to eat? And he should, the other way around, say, master, what can I fix you to eat? Right? If all he does is what he's supposed to do, the Bible says that servant is an unprofitable servant. If you're only aiming at the low bar, the Bible says you have a wrong perspective. Because God placed you here to accomplish all that he wants you to accomplish, not the least amount you can get away with. Okay? Now we're on the backside. Oops, wait, let's read these first, right? Let's read these two sentences here, since I have two. Number one here, the am I doing, okay? Am I doing what I can, the way I can, with what God has given me? And the next one, am I using my God-given ability at my God-given capacity? Now I'm going to flip your page over there. The principle of difficulty. Following Jesus is hard. It's called taking up your cross. It's recognizing that you have been crucified with Christ, that you no longer belong to yourself. You have no rights. God is your rescuer. God is your rightful owner. And they will treat you like they treated Jesus. Okay, look at this. Am I embracing difficulty as a normal result of obeying God? Am I embracing difficulty as a normal result of obeying God? If things do not change in our country, you will need to revisit this often. Okay? If things do not change in our country, you will have to revisit this often. Here's the verse passage here, John 15, 19 to 21. It says, if you were of the world, this is Jesus talking, the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world what? Hates you. They won't choose you, they won't help you, they won't hire you, they won't keep you, they won't promote you. They'll treat you badly. They'll hate you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, and they did, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And they did not keep Jesus' word. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake. Understand, that's part of the job description. Because they do not know him who sent me. Philippians 1:27, unto you is given not, I think it's 1:29. Unto you is given not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. We've just had it easy in the United States, right? Let's read the summary statement together. Am I embracing difficulty as a normal result of obeying God? Now understand, we've talked about circumstances are not a good indicator because bad circumstances are a normal part of following Jesus, said the one who was crucified to 11 men, most of which were martyred for following Jesus. Okay? Number 7. The principle of expediency. Expediency. What works as it should, the way it should. Expediency. What works best. Okay? Will this promote spiritual benefit in myself or others? Will this promote spiritual benefit in myself or others? This overlaps with the love. It overlaps with the glory principle, those. But the idea is, it isn't just what you get out of the deal. It's what other people get out of the deal, too. Is it promoting? Paul talked about eating meat. And if meat offends people, if it drags them down, I won't eat meat. Can I eat meat? Rightly so, yeah. But if it hurts other people, then my answer is no. Even though I have a right to eat meat, I won't. Okay? 1 Corinthians 10, 23 and 24. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are what? Helpful. Right? That's what we're talking about here. It's spiritually helpful. Beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but not all things build people up. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. We're not to seek our own stuff. Expediency. How is it impacting others? Is it building people up? It's not. It's what ultimate effect does it have? That should impact my decision making. All right? Let's read this principle. And I don't know why I left it yellow. Maybe just to be different. I don't know. Number 7 here. Will this promote spiritual benefit in myself or others? Okay, we have to consider that. Again, 1 of 10 principles here. Number 8, the principle of liberty. The principle of liberty. Am I using my God-given freedom? That's where the idea of liberty goes. We're free. God-given freedom from sin and the law. We're free from the sin and the law. To live rightly, not lustfully. Am I using my freedom from sin and the law to live rightly, not lustfully? To live the way I should, not the way I want, is another way to say that. Lustfully is the way I want, what I feel like doing, what I want to do. Okay? Another way to say it, and I left 2 summary statements in here too. Am I using this freedom to serve others rather than myself? And the passage in here summarizes it, and it's only even one verse. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. We've been called to holiness. We've been called to liberty. Only do not use, this is a command here, do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh to fulfill fleshly things, what you want, whether it's your earthly temporal plans that have not factored in God, or your living by your passions and physical lusts, whether it's sleeping in or eating too much, or it's being sexually immoral in some way, shape, or form. We're not to use our freedom that way. We need to serve others rather than myself. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, here's the other command, serve one another. You know, a good deterrent to sin is service for other people, serving other people. It's commanded here. I didn't even have to make it up. Right? You're not being selfish, you're being serving. Let's read these 2 summaries here in number 8. Am I using my God-given freedom from sin and the law to live rightly, not lustfully? Am I using this freedom to serve others rather than myself? Okay. Number 9, which I've rewrote to have a little better flow to it. You haven't seen this one till tonight. The principle of charity. You haven't seen the summary statement here. By this choice, and every one of these questions can be introduced this way. You should be asking yourself, because it's how to make godly decisions, how to know the will of God. By this choice, am I meeting the spiritual needs of others, even at great cost to me, even though he or she may not deserve it? Okay? And I put it here, I took out the benefit idea of the definition. It's still true. But the way the Bible presents love is that they need, not want. Remember we talked about, I need a Nintendo. I need a chocolate shake. Okay, maybe I do need a chocolate shake. No, you know what I'm saying? No one needs a chocolate shake unless you somehow have some medical condition that require. I want to sign up for that if there is one. But you know what I'm saying? It's not. It's need, not want. Not fluff, it's need that defines spiritual love. And in fact, saying no is sometimes being loving. In fact, it's as a parent, you'll find out it's being very loving. Okay? 1 John 3:16-18. By this We know love, and it's a perfect tense. We have come to know what love is because He, Jesus, laid down His life for us. That's what love is. We didn't deserve it. We didn't have it coming. It was at the highest cost for Jesus, but that's what we needed, right? That's what we needed. That's the only thing that would help. He didn't throw money in the offering plate because it wouldn't have helped what we needed. He didn't give us a new basketball or a nice car or even a nice house because that's not what we needed. We needed eternal redemption from our sin. And so He had to die on the cross for us. Notice here now, and we also ought, that's the word that we are indebted. Paul uses another form of the word, I am debtor to the Jew and also to the Greek. Right? We are indebted. We, because of what Jesus has done, we have that against our account. We owe it to lay down our lives for the brethren. We owe dying for people. That's what we owe. Okay? We owe our lives to the brethren to die for them. If what? What's the word I'm looking for? Needed, right? But whoever has this world's goods, let's lower the standard down. Let's not talk about dying now. Whoever has this world's goods, you have extra, and sees his brother in what? What's this word here? Need. Okay, I just thought it. I'm not making this up, right? And shuts up his heart from him, his brother who is in need. How does the love of God abide in him? And the answer is it most definitely does not. You're not exercising that kind of love that requires you to die for somebody and you won't even share what you have extra in when somebody has a need. They don't have enough to eat. They're starving in some way, shape, or form. And you're sitting back drinking a shake. Which nobody what? Yeah, you can correct me on that later, but I want a scripture verse. But I really do want a scripture verse to that. My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and truth, in action and accuracy. Right? A lot of stuff that's done for people is done out of feelings, but it's not out of need. And it's inaccurate. It actually causes dependence. It actually causes hurt. Right? The principle of charity. Let's read this summary statement here in number 9. By this choice, am I meeting the spiritual needs of others, even at great cost to me, even though he or she may not deserve it? Okay? And number 10, which we covered in the last 2 weeks, the principle of glory. And I think this is a brand new summary statement that I wrote up. So it's probably the first time you've seen this one too, because we didn't really present a summary statement on this. All right? Am I choosing? It should say do, not coo. It says it correctly in here, though, doesn't it? Okay. No, it doesn't. Am I choosing to do all that I do and the way that I do it so that it draws attention, credit, and praise to God from those that I influence? That's a way to state the question about, is this glorifying to God, right? Am I choosing to do all that I can do and the way that I do it? Everything should be through this filter, the Bible says, okay? Even eating and drinking, whatever you do, do what? All to the glory of God. Every last thing should be done in a way that draws good attention to God, or you don't do it. That's the idea. Okay? Am I choosing to do all that I can do and the way I do it? 1 Corinthians 10 is more the what, but also why you do it. Eating. If someone asks, well, it's been offered to an idol, then you should not eat for conscience sake, the Bible says, because of what it can do to them, because of the influence you have on other people. But everything you do should be done in a way, what you do and the way you do it, so that it draws attention, credit and praise to God from those that I influence. Okay? And then 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you are, and I use the extended Kevin Super version, it's really literal. It's these are present tense verbs. Whether you are eating or drinking, the most mundane of activities, the routine activities that we do every day, several times a day, or whatever you are doing, and there's that all kind of thing, whatever, whatever. It's a blanket principle. Whatever you are doing, be doing, an ongoing principle, all to the glory of God, to bring Him attention, bring people's focus toward Him, bring Him praise from the people that I am influencing. The idea is, it's to glorifying God, yes, can come from my voice, but what it's talking about here, doing in the context of 1 Corinthians 10, it's as other people are influenced by your actions and choices. Okay? You're drawing attention, credit, and praise to God who deserves it to those around you that you influence. Let's read that summary statement. Am I choosing to do all that I do and the way that I do it so that it draws attention, credit, and praise to God from those that I influence? Right? It's not me. It's not, hey, look at me, look at me. It's not, look at my car. It's not, look at my house. It's what we do should draw, say, man, look at God. The way we talk, the way we act, what we do, the way, why we do it should all say, look at God. It points to God, not us. Questions or comments on this summary of 10 principles? Isn't it nice to have it on a sheet? Aren't you glad I didn't try to squeeze them all in the sheet before? You know, 58 pages of summary notes. The next few weeks, I will hit some different questions or angles about the will of God as we kind of wrap this up. We'll finish up, I think, in the first week in June is when we'll be done with this mini-series, if you will. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word, Lord. As simple as we put these down, it's still hard to remember them. Help us, Lord, to pursue memorizing these principles so that we can live by these principles, many of which are just explicit commands on how to live. I pray, Lord, that we would care what You want us to do rather than walking away and moving on without being changed by Your word. I pray that You just bless the time to follow, the sharing, and all that goes on. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.